So
what are we doing the show about today?
Yes, we are doing a show about dating.
Why?
Because I think it's a fun topic.
It has nothing to do with all the things I am interested in.
Well, I'm interested in
it. And dating is not one of them. Oh. That will be an interesting topic.
Yeah, so I'm going to ask her to, like, you know, figure out what our blockages are.
I know my blockages.
What?
So there was this topic about how to date people, but the guy was saying you can't date other people until you're ready to date yourself. And I'm like, oh, I guess I'm never dating.
Oh no.
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't want to date yourself?
Well, he said, would you want to date yourself with all your quirks and qualms and things you don't like about yourself? And if you don't like things about yourself, well, there you go. That's your first blockage. I'm like, oh, that's deep. Right?
Yeah, I asked myself that a few months ago. And yeah. I was like, I don't know. My thing was that I don't want to date somebody with my exact blockages, because the whole point of dating is to have somebody to balance you out. So, like, if they're good at something that you suck at, then you can learn from them. So I was thinking about that. But then I was like, okay, of course I'm not going to date exactly me, but would I date, could I? Not that I would prefer to, but could I? And then I was like, yeah, I could. I know that I'm growing still, and I know that I have a ways to go, but I think I could invest in myself.
Well, I know that if I wanted to have a good time in the daytime, I would date myself. But do I want to date myself when I'm sleeping and hear myself snoring? No. Nope. Do
just I sleep in separate rooms? I don't know. I think it's fine to sleep in separate rooms sometimes. You don't have to sleep separately every single night, but I think people are like, they get all scared.
I would be cool with it.
Yeah, they get scared of, oh, if I sleep in a separate room, then that means that I don't love my partner. No, it just means that you like to, like, kick your legs around and be annoying when you sleep, and you don't want anybody to, like, be all up in your grill.
Like, I go to the restroom, like, I think 2 to 3 times, and then I snore. So it's like, you have to sleep in another bed and put some earphones on or something. I don't know. And I don't want to hear that person snoring.
Yeah, I don't want to. Oh, hi.
Hello.
Welcome to Mind Probe with Mom. This is the podcast where every episode we have a new expert come and teach my mom something new. I am your host, Amber Jean, comedian / astrologer, and I have my co-host, Mom. This is my mother, wearing a rainbow wig today.
Yes, today I'm wearing a rainbow wig.
All right.
I wanted to match my shirt.
You literally just said that you were wearing it because you were sweaty.
Oh, but I didn't know I was being recorded.
Well,
So,
I just,
anyways,
you said it like
and
1 minute ago.
I'm a CNA, and hopefully, I'll start working again in a week or two. And I also sell crystals and metaphysical gifts.
That's what's going on with my mom. And then today's episode, we have Juliana James, right? That's what you go by these days, or do you like to go by Jules?
Yeah, I mean, my mom calls me Juliana. That's the name of one of my private Instagram is Jules knows where it's at. And then it says my mom calls me Juliana. Because it's funny, in the professional world I use Juliana, but like if somebody actually said that to me in passing, it would feel really weird. So
Okay.
Jules.
Okay. Yeah, 'cause I know you through Becca, who did our second episode of about human design, and you guys are business partners. And so you do the more life coaching side of things, right?
Yeah, I do inner coaching, so like inner understanding of the self. I'm trauma informed. I have a background in life coaching, but I would call it more like inner business, we'll call it.
Where did my mom go?
I'm right
What's going on?
If you must know, I was picking my tooth.
Right. Well,
Love this.
that's what you gotta do. That's what you gotta do. Okay, so today's topic, we're gonna talk about love and dating.
How ironic.
How
These days, I have no right to be speaking, but
Well,
I do. Yeah.
you are good at seeing other people and understanding when energetics are not lining up and stuff like that, right? And so doesn't really matter what's going on with you so long as you can see energetic patterns clearly. So that's what I'm hoping your skill set can light up today is seeing maybe what's going on with me and my mom, and then we can discuss it and maybe we'll ask questions from there. But I guess just before we dive in, what is it specifically that you wanted to talk about when it comes to dating stuff? Did you have anything in particular that you wanted to lead with, or how did you want to go about this?
Okay, so dating has become kind of like an interest, borderline obsession of mine over the last year and a half when I became single for the first time in 16 years. And I'm a single mom of three kids that I co-parent now part-time with my previous partner. And so it became such a like relational healing, energetics, understanding dynamics, trauma, attachment issues, all these things became such a big topic of interest for me. And when I become interested in a topic, I like go all in. I
And
want.
mom, did you know any of those topics of what she just said?
Gosh, I don't really remember. That phase was so devastating. I think I washed it out of my brain.
Well, interesting to know, but that's not really what I asked you. I was asking if you,
If I can relate.
no, that's not what I asked you. I was asking if you knew, like, she just listed a bunch of topics that she was interested in. And so I was wondering if you are in the know about any of those topics that she just listed.
No, I'm not.
So,
They
like,
help. They help
Jules,
when you're dating. They help when you're dating.
yeah,
And
like when you say I'm trauma informed, and when you like say stuff like that, my mom doesn't necessarily know what you're talking about. So that'll be fun to like just, we're starting from scratch here.
love that. Love that. So trauma is interesting. I'll put it as plainly as possible because it actually is so much less complicated than the world makes it, and especially right now in the Instagram zeitgeist of people that are speaking about it, sometimes it can get overwhelming because you're like, what's trauma? What's just regular life? trauma is nothing. It's not what happened to you. It's not what happened to you. It's the meaning that you made of it and not having a safe place to put it. So then it lives inside the body. So then you repeat cycles. So what I mean by that is if something happened to you, let's say this is a super like simple explanation, but let's say mom didn't pick you up on time. It's kindergarten. You're waiting outside with your little backpack and all the kids are getting on the bus and their parents are picking them up and you're just by yourself and you're starting to feel a little bit more anxious, And all of a sudden you're like, oh my God, you think about a six-year-old, they're in kindergarten. They're like, oh my God, I got left here. Did I get left? And six-year-old doesn't have the cognitive. They're not thinking, oh, mom's 5 minutes behind. She's busy. She had to take a phone call. They're thinking, I've been abandoned. Where's my mom? And so they create a pattern in the brain and the pattern says, sometimes it's abandonment, rejection, all these things will come into play. And it's like a track in the snow. So it's a brain pattern that's been created. Now, circle to adult life, and you go and you're on a date and you get all cute and you show up and he's late.
Mm-hmm.
And 5 minutes go by. And
this
then
is literally my exact wound.
And then 10 minutes go by and you start to relive the experience of the six-year-old. It's the track through the snow. So the track through the snow that is most common is going to be relived. So all of a sudden you're like, oh my God, I'm being left. I've been rejected. He doesn't want me. Mm-hmm. Little do you know, he's stuck in traffic.
So all my future dudes who want to date me, never be late. Or I could just heal my stuff, which would be more ideal, but also never be late.
Yeah. And this is anxious attachment. And yeah, all
I got anxious attachment.
Yeah. Pisces.
Yeah.
All Pisces.
I think I did that to Amber and Nicholas.
Oh, loss.
Yes. But for me, that never happened because I was a latchkey kid. So I was cool with my mom not picking me up because then I was like, oh, yeah, I'm going to go to my friend's house.
She's an Aquarius.
So am I.
Oh, you're an Aquarius too?
Yeah. Woo! Aquarius in the house.
All right. Oh, yeah. Before we continue, what's your big three?
Aquarius sun, Gemini rising, and a Capricorn moon. You know, I really struggled with this my whole life with the Capricorn. My mom's a Capricorn and like there's so much there, but it's created a lot of ambition in me.
Mm-hmm. How deep do you want to go into your own stuff, Mom?
Into my own, like what? Into my dating life?
Like, because I want to talk about like what the stuff that's actually holding us back. And in order to do that, you have to like talk about your feelings and your past and stuff.
I'm open.
All right.
Can I tell you something amazing that I'm starting right now?
Yeah.
Okay. So I just went through this like really difficult year and a half situationship. Mm-hmm. And it tore me apart like real bad. And I didn't know how to catalyze the pain because it was so present and it was so toxic. So I'm starting a podcast called Let's Call Him Jonas. And it's stories that I went through and like the audacity and the insanity of it. And then framing it into empowerment, like what I can do to heal and grow and change. Mm. It's going to be a comedy element because some of the shit that happened to me was beyond recognition of normal.
Mm-hmm.
But then I want people to write in with their own stories. And at the beginning of every story, we're going to say, I dated this guy. Let's call him Jonas.
Oh,
so all men are Jonas.
I will send you a story.
I got a story too.
Let's call him Jonas.
Oh, that's cute. I like that idea. So I think the thing that I'm picking up on before we even start is that my mom is so like revolted by dating right now And she's like, I don't care about this. But I know that that is some kind of a reaction, like a trauma reaction.
Okay, so two things. My initial question is, when was the last time you felt safe, supported, and loved? By the masculine.
I would have to say anytime I'm around my brother.
I love that.
But our whole family has like this pattern of the masculine abandoning us. Like,
yeah,
my mom didn't know her dad. Her brother didn't know his dad. Nobody knows their dad. Like,
no.
And the people my that mom's do, it's dad like kind
left
of
early too.
Yeah, it's a total pattern of the masculine not really being fully like present and seeing us, because they've always got some kind of thing going on that is either they're physically not there or some other thing,
or mentally they're not there.
So when you get into a relationship, do you have the dynamic of like, let me leave you before you leave me, by chance?
No. I try to stay like in a type of like, don't be your weird self and just like be like a boring girl and like stay calm, but show your little bit wild and fancy side too, but just don't go out of the norm. Give it some time. Do the 3-month period.
This is really interesting because I'm your daughter, and so I obviously have like absorbed a lot of your patterns from just being your daughter. And I've never heard you say that out loud of like, this is what I do in relationships, because that's what I do. I like when I am meeting somebody that I have a crush on, I'm like, I like really tamper down my weirdness, and then I just focus on being pretty and just focus on being appealing in whatever way.
I think everybody does that.
Some people are just themselves.
And what? So we think that they're going to fall in love with the pretty version of us, and then what? They're going to see the real us and then go running? Then that's not your person to begin with. Save yourself some time.
Yeah, but you know, easier said than done. When your nervous system is so riled up, and like you get into like a fawning trauma response of like, oh, I better make sure that I do everything good, and I don't walk on any eggshells, or I don't rock the boat in any way at all. I think that's kind of where me and my mom are coming from, is like, don't.
Also, it's just like, do you want to fart in front of him on the first day? No. Do you want to like brush your teeth and floss and all these other things and just be completely naked? No. It's the same.
Yeah,
I gotta dial it down.
Vulnerable, because there's like a fear of not being like that other person is just not gonna be present for us, and we're not gonna feel safe, and so it's scary to be fully vulnerable and fully ourselves.
My philosophy. Yeah. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
Sorry.
That's a Canadian thing. Okay. but my philosophy on this is different. So I believe personality wise, I'm going to come 100. Vulnerability wise, you haven't earned the right to my vulnerability yet. You haven't earned a right at the seat at my table, but I'm going to be fully me as I show up for you. And then if you earn the right through time and investment, so that means that you're investing to the same reciprocity that I'm investing in this. So I show up, you're being present with me, you're here, you want to know. Then as I feel that investment by the third to fifth date, I'm starting to get more vulnerable. I'm not telling them
what
about
does that even look like though? Because I'm you're talking to a Pisces, okay? And I got a Pisces Venus. I am just trained to be just all of my essence is emitting from me all of the time. And then I'm talking to you, a Capricorn moon, and you're saying like, you don't get to have my vulnerability because you've got this built-in mechanism within you where it's like you have boundaries built in. And so how do I even do that?
Yeah, that's your work. That's your work, right? That's your work. Because my work is to feel. And your work is boundaries, likely. I'm going to assume. I think.
Wait, so are you, so let's say you're on a date. And here's what I would do. Okay, I'm on a date. And all of a sudden, my energy is emitting out of my face. There is love all around. And it's just filling up the room. And all of me is out into the world. What do I do?
I have a question.
Uh-huh.
I don't even love this word because I don't believe there's such a thing. But like, I wonder if you're getting a little slutty with your energy.
Well, probably, but what... that's what I'm asking you about. What do I do about it?
So I think the question is like, what is your self-protection, self-safety mechanism, the inner masculine? So we all have the feminine and masculine within us. Mm-hmm. I often embody masculine, which is difficult because I'm attracted to masculine men. So I have to literally put down my doing hat and I have to get into my body and say, it's safe to feel, it's okay. So then I'm almost the opposite of you in some ways. So I have mm-hmm. to get very like, I make myself a little bit more feminine when I go out on a date, and that's just your natural mode of operandi, right?
Yeah.
Mine's a little different. So I get feminine, I go, I allow them the space to lead. So they become the masculine. With you, I would ask, can you talk to your inner masculine and say, hey, yo, we're going out tonight and I'm going to need you to protect me a little bit because when I get so wide open, I'm susceptible to being hurt. I was wondering if you could just be my daddy tonight and just like protect me. And then you're in
masculine. Here's the thing. When you grow up in a family where all of the masculines have not been around, they're not present, physically not there.
Yeah.
How do you find it? Hey, masculine, where even are you?
Ooh, that's your work, baby. That's your work to find him. He's in there.
Well, that's been my work, and so I still haven't figured it out.
You have nothing to figure out. You already know. You already know. You're just, it's a muscle, right? It's just like going to the gym. When you start at the gym, you start low, and it sucks ass, and then you increase the muscle because your muscles get stronger, and then you can increase the weight, and then it gets easier. That's just the same thing. Your inner masculine is already there. You don't have to figure anything out. He's not outside of you. He's not the man that left you. He's the man that's already inside you.
So the only way that I understand things in this world is through astrology. And so sorry if you guys are not, whoever's listening, don't know a ton about astrology, but I'll try to explain it best I can. So your rising sign talks about your masculine energy. And for me, mine is Aquarius. And so right there, it tells you, masculine energy is just aloof and not really like it's gone with the wind.
Yeah,
it's air sign. And then the ruler of my rising sign is in the 12th house, and the 12th house is like everything that's hidden from you, and it's like hard for you to even access it. My mom also has the ruler of her rising sign in the 12th house. So it's an interesting pattern. We both have this masculine energy hidden away and in La La Land, we can't access it. Where is he? We don't know. And so when I think about trying to summon Aquarius energy within myself, it's me doing stuff like this. Like, I'm very in my masculine when I'm teaching, when I'm learning stuff, when I'm talking about astrology, when I'm like trying to explain concepts that are mystical in nature, but I give structure to it. That's when I can find my masculine energy, is when I'm doing stuff like that. So that's great. I've figured it out for those specific things. But then if I go on a date, aha, here we go. Here's what I'm thinking. It's scary for me to bring out my masculine energy because dudes don't like astrology. They don't want to hear anything that my masculine has to say.
I don't think you want to bring those out on dates either, though. The masculine that I'm talking about is for you, not for them. So it's like you having the pre-date experience. This is what I'm thinking anyway. And then maybe, I mean, and I've interchanged man and masculine, but it's not actually that way. Everybody has the masculine and feminine within you. So you right. might be not heterosexual. You might not be heterosexual.
Yeah, it doesn't have anything to do with gender. It's labeling exactly. a type of energetic.
Good. And the masculine is the doing, whereas the feminine is receiving. And so if we're talking about you, it's like right before a date, what I would do specifically for you is I would have like a little a ritual by yourself, and you're going to say, hey, I'm going to go and be my full self. And like your full self is like, I'm assuming that men are like who is this creature? Like a little captivated. Yeah,
they're captivated. But then that rubs off, that doesn't last very long, because then they don't understand it. And then they like, because the type of guys that I like, they're very smart, very logical, and they're very much in the physical realm, because it's a counterbalance to me, because I'm so much not in that realm. And I like them. I like that they're in this other realm, because it helps me to feel more grounded, and I can appreciate what they're doing. But then it doesn't go the other way around. They don't appreciate that I'm a good counterbalance for them. They are judgmental and critical of the things that make me feminine. And I'm like, I just keep attracting all these dudes that hate feminine energy. And it's just like witch hunts all the time.
So the masculine, okay, we're going to get into this. This is masculine, feminine. I think this is important though for this conversation, because you can't control them. No. So my question, the simple question is, how are you choosing these men? Because the picker might be off, and that's okay. That's okay.
Well, that's why I haven't like dated anybody since December. So like 10 months ago, I haven't gone on a single date, because none of these dudes messaging me.
How long have you not been on dates, Mom?
2020.
2020.
Yeah, better. this is why we needed this episode.
Okay, this is important. Let's just have a real quick breakdown of feminine and masculine. The masculine, when you say they're judging and criticizing, a true masculine, a part of their job on this planet is to criticize and judge, actually. And it's not necessarily a bad thing. We actually want their judgment. If they love us and they've created safety for us, it's okay for them to be judging
us. That's the thing, is create safety.
They're not safe, right? Mm-hmm. So this is what I'm talking about. The safety that you have to evoke before you go to that date is, I am self-sovereign. I am safe within my being. I am not going to give you 100% of me until you've earned it. Mm-hmm. Right? That's about self-sovereignty. That's about your own inner essence protecting you, because you get to protect you.
What does that even look like, to not give 100% of your of your energy?
Boundaries. How do you deal with boundaries? What's your relationship with boundaries?
I'm good with boundaries if I, outside of dating. Inside of dating, it's kind of muddy for me. I don't get to practice a lot because I'm like so... My boundaries are more so like, it'll take a lot for you to go through the first gate. And if you match my criteria and you get past the first gate, then I barely have any boundaries after that. But then again, I feel like I've grown a lot in the last year, and so I might be a lot better at it, actually. I just haven't gotten to see for myself if that's true.
So a question about boundaries would be in context of dating with protecting your energy would be, because a boundary is only what's safe for me, what's okay for me, and what's not okay for me.
Yeah, I'm good about that. So yeah, like if I don't want to do something, then I'm going to say it and then I'm not going to do it. And I'm just very solid about that. Because my Mars is in Taurus. So like I've got, and my Jupiter's in Taurus. I guess, so Taurus is like very stubborn and very like, it's going to go the way I want it to go. Like, sorry. But when it comes to me giving my energy, and then it makes me feel anxious when I give all my energy away.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I'm like highly anxious. And so I want to like, yeah, I want to be effervescent and I want to be like a delicious meal for whoever is sitting in front of me. That's what I want to be.
They haven't earned it. They haven't earned it yet. You got to let them earn it. You have to sit back and allow them to pursue you.
How?
Friends first.
Quiet.
Friends first.
Huh? Become quiet. You detach. Become
quiet.
You detach. Detachment. It's the art of detachment. This is Brahmacharya in yoga. It's like, how do I detach from the outcome? So I just show up as me, sovereign. And I say, I want to, especially if I like them, I'm like kind of captive, and I'm a reflector. So whatever's inside them, I like take it inside my body and I'm like, oh, I like that. And if I like it, I like it. And so I'm very piercing and very into it. But I have to say to myself, you haven't earned the right to have every bit of me yet. You haven't earned the right. Show me who you're going to be. Don't tell me, because I'm not really interested, because men do not emote with words. If they're giving you words, it is not valuable. Ooh. Because men emote with actions only.
I just had an idea.
Okay.
Okay, so we talked about how my masculine energy is Aquarius and how he's gone and I don't know where he is. So here's the plan. If I'm sitting in front of a guy and I'm giving a lot of my energy, I feel like that's me being in the masculine. That's me like in a toxic way, because I should be leaning back in my feminine. But so instead of my masculine leaving my own body to like get him, I should be like my Aquarius energy, where it's like, where is he? Not with you. He's like sitting on a fucking log somewhere in some, like in the recesses of my mind. And then that will help me to pull my energy back, just to picture him just being like, looks cool over here. Not gonna do anything about it.
Yeah.
Aloof.
Yeah. Well, the other thing is, and then I want to talk about the masculine feminine again, because it's so important, because I'm learning about this right now. I'm so juiced up to speak about it. But with the, you're really asking, not what do you think about me, but what do I think about you, actually?
Yeah.
That's the question. Mm-hmm. And when you're anxious, you're pushing, you're like, look at me, look at me, look at me, look at me, look at me. Am I good enough? Am I good enough for you?
Yeah.
And if you don't want to do that, of course, then you stop dating, because you're like, fuck that. It's too exhausting.
It is exhausting.
I'm totally opposite. I do not want them to look at me.
Avoid it.
I don't want to be their topic. Like, I just, let's talk about everything except me.
Oh, okay. What I'm thinking about astrology. So my mom has her descendant. So like her feminine energy is Scorpio. Scorpio doesn't want to be seen.
Hidden.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know, but that sounds like me.
Yeah. So when she's feeling in her feminine energy, she's like, I am just a ghost. I am a shadow in the darkness.
Until you trust them, and then you're like, I will devour your soul a little bit. That's how Scorpios are, yeah. Like they're like, I now possess you. You are mine. Nah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Like,
once they're
That would be a nice, healthy thing for my mom, is to like to feel so safe enough with somebody that she could be in that energy, because I'd never really seen her in that energy before of like healthy, like claiming somebody.
Yep, I've never been in that, so I don't even know what it looks like.
Yeah, just being so like, they're mine. And I think that would be a healthy thing for you, because you're so detached right now.
And so aloof.
Yeah. And then my descendant, which your descendant tells you about your feminine energy, again, regardless of your gender, and mine is in Leo. So it's like, I want the attention. I want to be the most beautiful, talented, glowing, magnificent, effervescent thing in the room. And I want to be worshipped, and I want to be put on a pedestal. And if I don't sense that they're worshiping me, then I get anxious and I'm like, how can I get them to worship at my feet?
So I would highly recommend, and this I never suggest as a coach, I always lead you to the answers, but for the sake of time and just humanity, I would just highly encourage you to get bored with the men that don't worship you. Get bored. I am bored by you, because you're Leo inside. If you don't, if you're not seen, if you're not worshipped, that Leo will get upset and angry. And instead of allowing yourself to go there, get bored. Next, bye-bye. Obsessed.
Yeah. That's what I've been doing. I'm proud of myself. Like on dating apps and stuff, when a guy just sends me a like on the dating apps and they don't write me a message, I'm like, come on. I'm a freaking queen over here. You're not going to try and like, you're not going to even try at all. You want me to initiate the first conversation? No. Rude.
But and then, how about this? Do you send them a like without a comment?
No. I'm a projector. Oh, never. Projectors wait for the invitation. And some people, they're like, you don't have to like go that extreme where, you know, you can message somebody on dating apps and stuff. Like that, you know, it's not that big of a deal. You don't necessarily need an invitation for that. But for my own research and experimentation, yes, I do. Because every single time I ever initiate on dating apps, it just, nobody ever responds. And I'm like, whatever. I'm just waiting. Because every person that I have really clicked with, they initiated with some really thoughtful thing. And then I instantly feel seen and recognized. And then I can be in my feminine and I can respond in a way where I feel safe. And I don't slip into my anxious attachment, because I already feel recognized by them. But back to what you're saying of like, get bored when they're not worshiping me. That's a good like short thing to lock away in my head. I'm like, boring. Yeah, I do get bored really easily.
I have a history because of that masculine nature within me and the ambition that I've moved towards all things. Like, I love ascension. I like money. I like moving upwards. I like growth. And so because of that, I've attracted beta men that are okay with me being the boss, you know, because I am a good boss and I lead very well. But I'm now so committed to my growth with leadership that I will not move towards something unless there is. So right now, the situationship, let's call him Jonas. He has been now trying, because I pulled back completely, no contact, 20 days, no contact. And then he started coming towards me, calling me, texting me, saying things like, you know, when I met you, I asked myself, who is this person and where has she been my whole life? Then the next day he said, I think about you every day. All these things that in the past, my inner spirit would have been like, okay. And I would have been back in his bed, you know, like I would have been at his house. But instead, none of that matters. That's all just noise. Until you come at me with and this is what I'm going to do about it.
Mm-hmm.
Not interested.
Yeah, I'm even just thinking of your chart right now. And well, something that you should know about Capricorn is that it is a feminine energy. And if it's expressing masculine with you, that might be something to look at. And just like to shift that thought a little bit of there's like masculine ambition of trying to seek externally. And then there's the feminine expression of Capricorn, which is to build something because you're a matriarch. And it's like, be like, yeah, you have the vision and you have the goals and stuff, but it's internal. It's you're building something because you are the top of the pyramid or whatever. Mm-hmm. So it's less external and more, you're still doing all of the action and in building towards something, but it's because you are the thing.
Oh, I love that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh wait, so I have a question about what Chelsea just said.
Not Chelsea.
So you said what's her
name is Jules.
Oh, Jules. Who the heck is Chelsea?
My friend from fourth grade.
So you said something about like now it's the 20th day and you're like no contact. What's that all about?
I chose to go no contact. So the last message I sent was, I'll let you know when I'm available for how you're showing up for me. Because my standards are higher than what he's giving me. He was not adhering to my boundaries of what I desire in relationship.
Mom, do you understand what no contact means?
Yeah, no talking and blah, blah, blah stuff.
Yeah.
So you actually tell them this, like, hey, this is how it is and like how you're talking to us and you tell them like, hey, I'm not going to contact you for a while or something.
I said, my very last thing I said was, I'll let you know when I'm available for how you show up here.
Wait, because say that again.
I'll let you know when I'm available for how you show up here, which is never. I didn't say never, but I, mm-hmm. So in my mind, I'm keeping him as like a, maybe someday back there, I'll be friends with him or something like this. But yeah, I said, I'll let you know when I'm available for how you're showing up because how you're showing up doesn't meet my needs.
Mm-hmm.
I have non-negotiables and then I have needs. One of my top non-negotiables is communication. I said mm-hmm. to him, are you aware of what I want here? So we were texting back and forth and he said, can I come to your house? And I said, are you aware of what I want from you? Are you aware? Because I don't know if you're aware. And he said, I'm aware. And I said, are you able
to? Are you really?
Are you able to give it to me? Are you able to give it to me? And he said, you want words. Why do you want words? Just watch my actions.
Nope. Already red flag.
My non-negotiable is communication. If you can't tell me what I mean to you, that you're going to show up for me and where you want to take this in the future, I'm out. Especially at a year and a half. If you don't know yet and you're keeping your options open, go find better than me. I double dog dare you. Mm-hmm. And you know what I found today? Let's call him Jonas. On my dating app, I opened Hinge. He was the third person that I swiped to. And I had a whole thing. I cried. I had a whole thing about it.
Yeah, he needs like somebody with fire placements, not somebody who's an Aquarius with a Gemini rising. You need the words.
And he's a Capricorn.
Oh, and I love Capricorn.
Me too.
I love Capricorns too.
Oh, I love their bossiness. Like, be my boss.
Ooh. Yeah. And put a uniform on.
Yeah.
Mom, what is going on with you? Why you keep disappearing?
Oh, because my wig is itchy and I keep trying to readjust it. Oh, I mean my dyed hair. Sorry.
It's not wig. Yeah, it's your dyed hair. Beautiful.
Do you want me to finish the thing about masculine and feminine really
quick?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, I think this is important. So this was hard for me because I have good girl syndrome and...
We do too.
When I'm judged or criticized, I immediately freeze. Mm-hmm. And then I either get extremely driven towards changing that one thing,
mm-hmm.
or I like want to run away as far as I can.
Oh, that's so good. Love it.
But the masculine in their healthy form are meant to judge. We need the judges and we have to trust them. We have to trust and empower them. This is what I do for my son. I give him lots of choices, two choices. Would you like to do this or do this? And he chooses one and I say, good choice, King. You made such a good choice, my son. His name is Phoenix, but I call him my king all the time. I want him to understand that his responsibility in this world is to make decisions and stand firm in what he's decided and be sure of himself. He's also a Capricorn, so it's easy. He's a tiny little CEO. So when I empower him to make those decisions and he makes one, the worst thing I could do would be to deny him. So when the masculine makes a decision for you, let's say they judge or criticize something you've done, like you shouldn't do it that way. My immediate old response would be either, like I said, to run away, to fawn, maybe even to fight about it and to be like, what do you know? This is my show, actually. I'm doing this right now, and get a little sassy. But now if a judgment comes from, let's say, my father, who I respect and who I trust and I love, if he judges something that I'm doing, I listen. I listen. Because there's some type of gift in that.
This is healing to hear you say that, because I don't listen. And I actively... I actively am like, ugh, nobody gets me.
It's not about you sometimes. It's about respecting and accepting leadership. It's not always going to be good. Imagine if we did everything that we loved. I'd be out there doing drugs all the time. You know, like, you know, things that we love sometimes are not good for us.
But what if what they're saying is like, it's not aligned with your truth? It's just like totally like, they don't get it.
So I have an interesting understanding or a feeling about understanding. I do not believe that the masculine is meant to understand us. We are, especially you, you are the ocean. You are the ocean. Who could understand that? Nobody understands that. No, you are the ocean.
No one in the world.
And stop trying to make them understand you. They can't. They literally can't. You can't even be caught up in that. That's insane. You can't understand me. All I need you to do is allow me to feel. So let's say, okay, my father, for instance, my father has some strong opinions about what I should be doing right now. Okay. He does not want me dating at all. He's like, you need to be alone. You need to focus on your children and your career. Those three things, he said. And I listen to him and then I slow down. I let my defenses come down. I just breathe for a second. I listen. And I want to fight him and I don't. And then I say, can I express how I feel? And he says, yes. And I'm like, I'm scared I'm going to be alone forever. And then he said, and then he leaves. And when I soften, I give the masculine the opportunity to lead me.
Man, this is so good. I'm like tearing up because I don't trust that anybody could like actually lead me. Because how do you lead a freaking like blustery wind? Like, how do you lead the ocean? I'm like, they don't know how to lead me, so why should I allow them to like boss me around?
This is the work. This is the work. It's to start to understand that there are some men that are showing up at your ocean with a pint and they're like, here, I can hold you. And you're like, no, you can't. And that's okay. Those are the wrong men for you. There are men out there, I promise, that have a container so thick and strong and big that they can hold your whole ocean and you can be chaos in that ocean, and they will hold you, and they will be the glass.
I've prepared with a napkin because I knew this was going to happen, where I would need to wipe away my tears. But yeah, it's just... Mom, are you relating to this?
Well, like, I don't want anybody to boss me around.
Yeah, I don't want anybody to boss me around.
I had two bossy people, and I let them lead. And I was, you know.
And they didn't see you properly, so it wasn't like they were actually leading you in the core of who you actually were. It was just like,
I want.
I always feel like an object, and they don't understand the object. But go on.
I just want, maybe I want another Aquarius or something like that. That'd be nice. Somebody who just like wants to be my best friend, basically. That's it.
Oh, and I think, and like, I have autism, my mom has ADHD, and I wonder if there's more that she's got going on, like, more like being on the spectrum and stuff. And
who?
You.
I have a spectrum of a halo, but that's about it.
Okay. And that's like another reason why I feel like nobody understands me, because they don't understand like what it's like to be neurodivergent, because they're so like they only understand the ways of the world of how everybody else does it, and all the rules of, oh, when you are in a social scenario like this, like, you have to do this. And I'm like, okay, well, I don't want to do that because it goes against how I'm actually feeling right now. And I'm just kind of rambling all of my like built up like frustrations. Yeah, I just don't think I'm gonna be understood, or but you're saying, who cares?
I'm saying that the right person, because this comes down to your picker, there has to be self-accountability in who we choose.
Mm-hmm.
There has to be self-accountability, because it's not really about them. If we've chosen correctly, and this comes back to that first date scenario where you're sitting there and you feel right away that their judgment is coming without care, because judgment without care is actually toxic masculinity. It's not right.
That's it right there.
Exactly. Then next, moving on. But if you find someone that cares and they're okay. So actually, before we get into the neurodivergence conversation, which I think is so, so important as somebody that is also neurodivergent and was dating. So the Jonas is on the spectrum as well. So there's a whole nother like neurodivergent.
Yeah. I think I can only date dudes that are also neurodivergent.
Well, that's the majority of people these days. Come on. Like we're all on some type of spectrum, and perhaps you're finding more people that are a little bit more neurotypical, but I think that's almost an anomaly these days for me anyway. I don't see them. And if I do see them, we are typically not that attracted to each other because I am so off sometimes, like a little different than the average. So mm-hmm. I want to get to the masculine, because this is really important. Masculine, feminine, again, how this can support you. Their job is to judge, criticize, solve problems, and contain. Containment means mm-hmm. that they create the safety. That's what I was talking about, the right container, right? If you keep going for containers that are too small for your big essence, it doesn't make sense. So you mm-hmm. go for somebody that can contain more. So they have to have done some work to be able to hold space for you.
Space. How do we notice them when we see them?
You instantly know if you're safe with them. You know, your body knows. If you go into fight or flight when you're around somebody and you're anxious right away, get the hell out of there. Your body is literally telling you what to do. Your body is saying no. Your body is saying, no, you have to listen to that. And trauma bonds, and you think about the anxiety that's created through trauma bonds. I knew intuitively the moment I met this person that I was sexually very attracted to them, chemically attracted. That's mm-hmm. called a chemical romance, and it's toxic. It's wrong. It's My wrong for your body. Romance. That is what I've been going through. So uh-huh. you have to assess, is this a safe person? The safety creates the containment. The feminine, our only job on this planet, the way that we work, if you're a feminine embodied woman, your job is to bring problems. Okay. That sounds crazy.
I could do that.
For the masculine to solve, but you have to allow them to solve it. And you have to trust that they're solving it for you.
Okay. So here's what I heard you saying. So, if I, feel anxious around somebody, because that's just my attachment style, I should recognize that, oh, there's something about this person where it's like, they can't contain me for whatever reason. So why do I get so drawn to the ones that make me feel anxious? Like, I guess I just have to, even though it's fun to date the ones that make me, I get all excited about them and stuff, I'm not allowed to have any of that fun because that's just perpetuating the cycle.
Well, it's a dopamine addiction, right? We're dopamine.
Yeah, the dopamine.
I want the dopamine so bad. This is my neurodivergence. I'm like, I've got a vape right here. I'm like constantly searching for the dopamine, and that's addictive spirals. And so what I recognize in myself is like, when I see somebody that is genuinely bad for me, I'm like, it's like my body's receptors go like, yes, yes, pick me. Baby. And it's like, as soon as I know that's happening, I'm like, you are not good for me, because your body will instantly begin to co-regulate with a safe person. You will co-regulate.
Yeah. And
if you're co-regulating, if you're actually getting more anxious, then that's typically a sign from your body that you're in an unsafe situation.
Okay. So how do you know the part of yourself that is totally stoked on dudes that aren't right for you? Like, is it your inner child? Like, can you share what part of yourself is craving that?
Wait, can we stay focused on the thing that she is talking about first?
No, because this is how conversation goes. Sometimes you get derailed and then you come back to it.
Oh, but you're losing me. Okay.
Maybe you might appreciate this because it's about mother-daughter dynamics. So maybe you'll appreciate. So my mom is Brazilian. She's an immigrant. Mm-hmm. And had come to Canada and almost immediately realized she wanted to stay because she was an orphan in Brazil. And at that time, they weren't really accepting. You couldn't just move here, and she had no skills. She was 19. So she married my dad to stay in the country.
Mm-hmm.
And my father is gay, but this was in the 80s.
Whoa.
And in the 80s, there was the rise of the AIDS epidemic, and there was a lot going on politically, and it was not good to be gay, really. And they were getting hate crime and crazy shit going on. And so my dad married my mom. And this wasn't spoken about until much, much later, 20 years later, but they were married. My mom was in love with him because he's a good looking dude. And he was perfect. This is a great cover for being gay.
Mm-hmm.
And so he married my mom. My mom told me they did not do a lot of the things that would create children, yet here I am, magical child. So they had me. Okay. Uh-huh. So they split very soon after I was born, and that's a long story. But when my mom was raising me, she has a perspective. When you're from a third world country or developing country, you often have this perspective of fight to survive. I would bring home 77%, and she would say, that's 33% below where you should be. She would tell me, without an education, you will be a failure. You're not very smart. At least you're pretty. These things that were a part of my upbringing. And she didn't, you know, maybe it wasn't that poignant, but she's also a Capricorn. She was very like, she was like, I'm doing this for you. Mm-hmm. It was shame with the intention of growing me into a better person. It made me incredibly resilient, but it also had this thing inside my inner child where I was like, if I could just make you see me, love me, care for me, choose me, please. And she was, you know, she was 20 when she had me. So when she was 26 and I was 6 and I had a bombshell of a mother, gorgeous, single mom, there was like a revolving door of men up in our situation, like coming to our house all the time, pleading for her hand in marriage. And I watched this. And all I wanted was for her to choose me.
Aww.
Please just choose me, please. Mm-hmm. And my dad was the weekend dad. So it was every second weekend. And he would take me to Holt Renfrew, which is this fancy store. And we'd go for dinner parties with his gay friends. And I was raised in art shows. And I was raised by like with these, everybody smoking cigarettes. And it was this big, like very cultured experience. Mm-hmm. I didn't go to parks. I wasn't in soccer. None of that happened.
Interesting.
So because of that, my search for men, and when they leave, I almost am addicted to the leaving, because when they leave, I know that later on they'll come back. They'll come back to me. And so my dad, being this man that was always gone because he was every second weekend dad, when he would leave, I'd be devastated, but he would always come back to me.
Oh, okay.
Dopamine addiction right from the beginning in childhood.
And have you figured out how to correct that pattern, or are you still playing with it?
This situationship really helped me to see the pattern very clearly. And like, I find men that are captivated by me, but don't invest fully in me, and that won't choose me entirely. And so, yeah, I'm starting to understand it, and it's incredibly painful because everything inside me wants to make them pay and win and hurt
them. I think the way to like actually heal from that wound would be to, as soon as you start to sense, oh, this is that same pattern that's happening, it's about to happen again, you choose to do the healthy thing, the aligned thing, and then you're probably going to be triggered again, maybe, like, and you'll keep getting tested with the same, like, is she gonna choose that same old pattern? Is she gonna choose the dopamine hit and reliving the most painful feelings because it's like really tickling some nerve somewhere, or is she going to release it and redirect and say, by toxic choice, I choose the unknown, really, too, because you don't know that you're going to get something better until it happens.
Yeah, and also choosing myself. So, like, sometimes I'll say to myself, like, I'll say, he doesn't choose me. And then I'll say, but I choose me.
Mm-hmm.
I choose me. I love me. Mm-hmm. I really love me.
Mm. Okay, do you want to go back to what you were saying about the masculine?
The feminine and masculine. So the feminine presents problems, shares vulnerably. So that means I feel, and then also shares needs. That's all feminine, receiving. Think about the feminine like this, is I focused. Me, I. The masculine is you focused.
Mm-hmm.
So when you say, you did this, that's masculine. You're judging. That's a judgment. So if you were to, when you're speaking to a masculine, instead of saying you, because as soon as you do that, what do two little men do together? They sword fight. War. Yeah. So they're not going to respond to that very well. So instead of saying you to a man, you say, I feel.
Mm-hmm.
I feel. And even when they're pleasing you, when they show up with something beautiful, you go, I love that. Mm-hmm. They want to solve problems for you. So when you give them the algorithm of what works for you, they're going to keep doing it. The hard mm-hmm. part is if you're with a confusing man that is toxic and doesn't care about your needs or wants, and then you have to go next because that's not your guy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then if they're making all choices based off of what they want, they're not in their healthy masculine because they're not.
They're them focused. They're yeah. them focused. That's feminine. They want a mommy. You know what yeah. they want? They want you to call the shots. And I'm done with that shit. Mm-mm. Mm-hmm. I'll never do that again. I already have 3 kids. I don't need a fourth.
Mm-hmm.
I will not. Yeah. As soon as I can tell that they want me to lead them, I'm out.
Yeah, that's why I don't initiate the messages on Hinge.
Never. No.
And I am not even on Bumble at all because, yuck. I had to learn how to not pursue. That was really hard for me.
Yeah.
Even now, still, I my mind will think of the millions of ways where I can pursue, but in a secret way where I don't actually have to do anything. Like, I racked my mind of, can I drop a handkerchief by his feet?
Yeah, but that is actually the initiation. That's actually beautiful. So what you're doing is you're yeah. allowing him to solve a problem for you. So this is actually the way that you're supposed to do it. So if you're at a busy bar and you see a man, you're attracted to him, eye contact, smiling, sure. But then a really great way is to go close to them and say, oh my God, my friends are over there, but I only have 2 hands. Could you hold this for me?
Yeah.
And you let him hold your
Ask
jacket.
Ask them for help.
All of a sudden, they're like, oh, I want to solve her problems. I want to care for her. The 2 questions that we have to ask, the masculine has to ask, do I want to care for her? And the feminine has to ask, do I trust him?
Yep. Yep. Nailing it. Mm. You're nailing it.
That's it.
Yeah.
Okay, Mom, do you feel a little bit more aligned in your feminine energy?
Yeah.
All right. So how do you, okay. So does this inspire you to want to go on a date?
No.
But why not?
I'm too busy right now.
Okay. When
okay. When... Look, I did do this, one of those apps. I don't even remember the names of it. I don't know. And I'm very picky. Like,
yeah, me too.
So, but then I feel sorry for them. Like, oh, I'll just respond and be nice. So I'll I put it on pause right now because I hate hearing the ding dongs and the beep beeps and all that noise. And I'm like, forget it. Just put it on pause for a month. So it's on pause. But like I said, I just want my best friend because I don't think I ever had one.
Yeah. Well, then that's a good goal. So instead of saying, no, I don't want to go on a date, say, yeah. And this is the specific thing that I'm looking for. A friend.
Yeah.
Okay. So you're a little less closed off. Great.
Yeah, I know.
Jules, what are your thoughts rolling around in your head right now?
Okay, so 2 before we close, I think is so important. 1, try to date people that you would normally not date. So if you think this whole notion of being picky is actually based in a physical paradigm that you know nothing of yet until you energetically meet these people. So if you're saying you're physically mm-hmm. picky, because that's usually what you're doing when you're looking at an app, I'm not saying go for somebody that you're genuinely not attracted to, but try to date outside of your comfort zone. Because if you do that, you might be really impressed by what.
Yeah, I keep myself open to an extent where it's like, if, cause I read energy. So if they've got the right energy in the photo, but they don't look exactly what I expected, I'm still open to it. And they have like voice prompts and stuff. If their voice has the right energy, and if the things that they write have the right energy, then, you know, we're on.
Yeah. Well, okay. So I want to know, because I noticed this on all the apps. I do not respond to anybody who takes a selfie in a bathroom.
Why?
They're taking a selfie in the bathroom.
Who cares?
It's just weird.
No, it's
like
not.
Their bathroom. Yeah.
They want to date somebody, and if they don't have a picture of their face, they're going to go into their bathroom and take a picture of their face.
It's their whole body. They're like showing, you know, like their whole body, the reflection into the mirror kind of thing.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just don't like that.
Well, that's some, they're trying to say, this is what I can offer you. And you're saying, ew.
Ugh. It's in a bathroom. It seems inappropriate.
Who cares? That's something I feel like you should just be like, It's a beige flag. Don't let it be a red flag.
My green flags are like, oh, they're on vacation. They're in a place like so far away. They're in nature, like someplace I would like to go. Like, give me a conversation picture, not a bathroom, no conversation picture.
My red flag about pictures is a dude holding a fish.
Yeah.
I or love hunting. The fish one.
Any hunting.
No, I hate
it. Oh, I love it. Because they're just saying, like, look at, I love this thing. I love doing this thing. And it brings me great joy. And I'm also going to provide food for you. I'm okay with that.
That's fine. But I'm vegetarian. So it's right away, it's like.
Yeah, that's a no. That's a no for you. I don't like when they're topless. I don't put, like, I've got a pretty banging body. I'm happy with my body. I love who I am. I'm not going to put that on a dating app, because that's a gift that I'll offer you if you earn it. I don't need to see you shirtless. I would like to feel you and see you in your element. I don't want to see your naked body.
No. Again, I think that's like, I don't really care if they want to show their chest or even their butt, because sometimes some guy, like funny guys, will be like, ooh, and they'll like show their butt or something. I think that's funny. I don't care. Because it's guys are different than girls. Like, men are here to provide and they want to like show everything that they can provide, and then girls, it's like, I'm not gonna show everything. And so I think it's fine.
Yeah.
But am I probably gonna date the types of guys that are doing that? Maybe. Who knows? I don't know. I'm open to it. I tend to go for nerdier guys.
Yeah.
Are you laughing thinking about the guys that I like?
Let's call him Jonas.
I think we need to just keep expanding on this topic.
Of how to date?
Yeah. How to get out of not dating and into dating.
You just go for it. It's like the first time you go to a gym class or a yoga class and you're like, I'm nervous. You just go and you go and do it. I went on a date the other day and I had one drink. I was out of there in an hour. Thank you so much. It was nice to meet you. Bye-bye. Never going to see him again, but it was great. It was a great conversation. Only one drink. I was fine.
Perfect. I don't even want to hang out with somebody if I'm not thinking that I'm going to be totally into them. Because it's too, like, I don't know. They're going to take all my energy.
Life is short. You should have love. You should have so much love in your life. Life is short. Mm-hmm. Find somebody to spend your time with. And find someone to keep you safe and warm. And
I want to go back to the part where you were saying, what did you even say? Like, I was like, I don't trust for them to lead me. And then what was your advice?
You gotta choose wisely. So choose, I don't know if this is what I said, but you need to first make sure that you're choosing someone that feels safe.
Yeah.
Number two, we have to learn how to trust them. We have to. That is the essence. That is our job. You have to trust them. And they may hurt you. That's okay. That's okay. And then your job is to feel and to heal. But it's like you have to know that they want to please you. Most masculine want to please. They want to please the feminine. They want to show up for you. They want to work for you. This is why if you give it away too soon, if you give away all of your heart and all of your energy, they don't value it. As a high value woman, she understands, I'm the prize here. I'm mm-hmm. the queen. I am something to be sought after. I won't just give that to mm-hmm. anyone. I know that. And when they understand that, then whoever shows up is going to work very hard for it, or they're going to be disqualified and walk away. Those are the options. And then don't pursue. I'm not going to pursue. I'm not going to call him. I'm not going to set him up to say, like, do you want to see me? None of that. No. you know where I live. You know where I live, you're going to come after me. And if you don't, that's okay, because the next guy will, and he's going to do so with flowers and everything else that I enjoy.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Flowers, chocolates, diamond rings.
I've experienced that before of being pursued and having the person actually like really work hard to get me and saw me as high value, and I saw myself as high value. Like, I understand how to do it because it's happened to me before. And I think I'm on the right track, but I haven't been practicing, so who knows?
I would say that if you get involved with somebody that isn't, that's what I did. I got involved with somebody that wasn't pursuing me, and that felt like a challenge to me. Everything inside my ego was like, you're going to reject me. It was like my little girl was like, oh, watch this. And I like put on my gloves. I tried everything. I tried everything. The harder I tried, the more it repulsed him. Yeah. And now, only now, when I've pulled away, now he's pursuing. And not at
all. Well, what is that?
Because
magnetism, baby. It's a magnet. Magnets are attracted to the opposite. It's a polarity.
Yeah, so she went in the correct polarity of being feminine and being in her own energy instead of before, when she was like, I'm going to get him. And so she got into her correct flow, and then that allowed for him to be in his correct masculine flow of pursuing. And yeah, so we just got to figure out how to do it at the beginning. Well, everybody, thanks for doing this episode. Jules, thank you so much. How can we follow you, and what have you got going on outside of doing this podcast?
So I run a business program called The Vision, and it's service providers, guides, mentors, entrepreneurs that want to grow themselves and grow their business. It's a community of like-minded individuals, and that you can find me at Miss Juliana James on Instagram. That's where I hang out. And if you just want to hang out with me in my personal life, it's Jules Knows Where It's At. And that one's a private account, but I'll accept you, especially if you send me a DM and tell me who you are and that you're not just trying to get feet pics from me. And I share a little bit of my personal life over there. And I'm going to be creating this new podcast. Let's call him Jonas. So that should come out in the next couple of months. And it's a passion project that I'm super stoked on. Yay. There's lots going on. Just come hang out with me on Instagram.
Yay. Well, thanks for being here. We'll chat with you next time.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Bye.
Hey, Mom.
Hi.
So, what did you learn? Let's start there.
So I remember this part, like back in the day, where I don't know who it was, maybe just friends saying, never chase a guy. Easier said than done, right? Mm-hmm. So that's what I feel like this, reminded me of, like, back then in those days. But there were some times I remember where I didn't chase a guy and the guy would chase me. And then I'd give in, and then it still didn't work out. So what is that all about?
Because if you give in and you aren't interested, like they're not the right person, you need to have boundaries. You can't just be like, well, I guess they want me really bad, so I guess I'll just give my body away. Instead of doing that, you say, they're coming for me and I don't really like it, so I'm going to say no. I'm going to tell them what I actually feel. Like in the beginning when Jules was saying, like, this isn't working for me, so this is what I need. And then she went no contact. You're allowed to do that. You're allowed to be like, no, this isn't what I need. This isn't the vibe that I'm wanting. So what I actually want is, you know what you actually want. You should try and figure that out a little bit more in depth of all the things that you would actually want based on what you don't want. You know a lot of what you don't want. So
I know what I don't want, and I don't want, I basically want an Australian with a beard.
Or somebody with that vibe.
Yeah, have the vibe of an Australian matey with a beard who likes to cut lumber.
Yes, because your rising sign, remember this is your masculine energy, is Taurus. So you like Taurus energy is like the burly man of the woods.
Yeah.
He's like, I'll chop the lumber and then I'll make the fire and then I'll cook the food on the fire.
And while you're doing that, go pick me up 2 dozen roses.
Yeah, the romance.
And bake a pie.
The simple, it's okay. So I'm gathering what you want, because this is like all Taurus energy. You want somebody who's like part of the simple life, and they feel safe to be around, and there's like a coziness to them. And there's like a connection with the earth in some way, like since your Venus, which is the ruler of Taurus, is in Aries, they also have to be active and fun. So
yeah.
So yeah, that makes
likes
sense.
To dance, likes to cook, likes an occasional glass of wine, not a drinker, not a smoker. Likes the outdoors. Unless it's cold and rainy, he will build a fire indoors and make a picnic on the carpet.
All right. And then, okay, universe, this is what I want. Okay. Okay. So I want somebody who is goofy, silly, funny, fun.
Me too.
Okay. That's my number one priority, though, because you were like, I want him to be an Australian with a beard. That was the first thing you cared about.
Oh, I could have said a funny Australian, a funny Australian.
Okay. Mine has to be kind of goofy and silly, though. Like the, like, wiggly. He's got to be wiggly somehow.
Like Austin Powers?
Austin Powers. Yeah, I love Austin Powers.
There you go.
I do love Austin Powers. But, okay. And then he's got to be sharp mentally and like quick, and because otherwise I will be bored, because I need the mental stimulation, and so I like to be able to be quick with people. I tend to enjoy writers or producers, people who, like, even though they're silly, they have this kind of groundedness to them where they're good at like seeing the big picture to things, and they can be like a boss type of energy. I enjoy that. But then they have to also just be so willing to like hold my big old ocean of like all my mystical, like all my mystical stuff, all of my emotion. They have to be able to contain me.
Oh boy, that's a big one. How would they even contain me since I'm just air?
How would they contain you? They just have to, they have to be a container for all of your freedom. So meaning when you are like going all these adventures and stuff, instead of trying, instead of them feeling smaller than you and getting afraid and then trying to control you or trying to judge you or something, instead they can contain the fact that you are the heir, meaning they like that about you, and they can improve your life in those areas. So maybe they're like, oh, like you're trying to go on 10 vacations a year. Well, let me come with you. That's somebody who can contain air. It's like they appreciate what's already there and they can hold space for it. It's not that they're trying to control it. They appreciate what's in front of them and they can withstand all of it and improve upon it.
Or I need to find somebody who's like a bird or likes like a pilot or like
you want to date a
planes.
Bird.
I don't know.
No, I don't think you need that. I think you need the Taurus energy that you described before of somebody who is very grounded yet very fun, because too much of that same energy that you already have, you're not gonna really respect them, I don't think. Okay, well that's our show. Thanks for listening, everybody. We hope you have lots of love in your heart, and let us know if you have any ideas of what you would like to see in future episodes. Okay.
You say you're not perfect, can't look to the left or right. I know that I'll never be a perfect woman, don't pretend. You're so beautiful to me. I, who am not as in love as that, maybe I understand more. I love you as you are.